So, God I Am is an interesting word that has come up this morning. Our friend in the Philippines, who used to be Lavish Abundance as his email name, has now changed it to God I Am, which is a very lovely name. Ellen is God Ellen, and I think that's a very powerful name. This boy has been reading the University of Healing courses through chapter 11, and he's changing his attitude, and he's changing his name and his email, and changing a lot of things. It'll be interesting to see what he's planning to do with himself. What would it mean when you start calling yourself God I Am? What would happen to you if you sincerely started calling yourself God I Am? What is your name, ma'am? God I Am. And what is your name, sir? God I Am. And what would people say to you? They'd say, that's kind of interesting. Is it Goddamn I Am? Goddamn? Or, Goddamian? Or, no, God I Am. You say it slowly, precisely, and clearly. And what does it mean, your name? Well, Byerly means a little peasant or a little farmer. God I Am means I am the essence of the universe, the creator of the universe. I am the cause and the effect. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the All. I am absolute. Woo-wee. And this you're referring to yourself as a human being. No, I'm referring this to myself as a divine being. But you're human. Yes, that's true. That's just a part of who I am. My reality is my divine humanness, my divine qualities that are in me. Now, that I take on a human attitude and a human thing, it is what? What is this humanness of me? What is this humanness of? John, I want you to go and sit down there with Sylvia and play a game of chess. Now, is John the game of chess, or is Sylvia the game of chess, or are they just playing the game of chess? Now, they play the game of chess with great interest. They do their very best to play it honorably and well, intelligently, and John knows chess a little better than Sylvia, but Sylvia is a little craftier than John. And so Sylvia watches where John is moving, and then she does everything to block him and stifles him, and she wins. Now, John is the better player, but Sylvia wins. How come? How can that be? Well, Sylvia just listened to the divine within, and John listened to the rules of the game. He listened to whatever were the rules that the humans have put on a game. And whenever we listen to the rules that humans put on a game, what we're doing is we're limiting ourselves. Because we don't need to be limited by rules. We don't need to be limited by anything. Not that rules are bad or good, but we don't need to be limited by them. Why is it that a rule can be limiting? Now, the rule says, you can't do this. That's right, I can't. But I can have you move where I want you to move so that I can make the move I want to move. And so he just sits back there and she says, John is moving his bishop to this location. John is moving his bishop to this location. And John feels compelled to move his bishop to that location, and he doesn't know why he's compelled to do it. He just moves it there, and then Sylvia comes in and wipes him off the board. Now, Sylvia is just playing the game. Sylvia is doing it perfectly. And so then John said, how did you do that? And she says, I just thought you to put it in the right location. I said, John is putting the bishop at that location. Oh, hush, hush, hush. Now, John is using that same technique with you, subtly, gently, and, but those are the real rules of the game. Those are the real rules of the divinity that we are. Not that we are doing anything right or wrong. We are just speaking our... John doesn't have to move. John doesn't have to be manipulated by Sylvia's mental attitude. We sat at the table here, and you were all sitting here like quiet children. Not that you weren't saying something, it's that you had an emotional attitude. And your emotional attitude was as though you were recalcitrant, as though you had done some bad things and you weren't telling about it, and yet you knew that everybody knew what you'd done. And so you sort of demonstrate that in your feelings, in your aura, in your emotions, in your out-picturing of yourself. We are so we are so open to the world and so known to the world by whatever things are going on inside of us that we can't hide it. So what we might as well do is to be open to the world about who we really are. Now, who are we really? We are really God. We are really the Creator. We are really the ones who determine what's going to go on. Now, was God, as we think about God in the Bible, was God wrong to tell Adam that his arms should go from his shoulder out and that his nose should be facing forward and not backwards? I mean, that's what God did. God decided how Adam was going to look and how Eve was going to look. God decided how all of these animals are going to look. You know what an anteater is? It has a long snout on it and a long tongue that goes out as it goes down into the hole of the ant. And it licks them all up and puts them back in his mouth. And his snout can get down in there. You know. And what about a frog? Have you ever seen a frog? A frog is the strangest looking creature. They're dry frogs and wet frogs. And you look at these wet frogs, and there's a fly over here, and the frog is sitting on a lily pad here. He takes his tongue, boom, direct hit, get the fly, and the fly doesn't even know what happened. Now, is that fair to the fly? The fly has a perfect right to exist too. Well, the fly realizes it shouldn't be too close to frogs, because if a fly is on a frog's head, boom, he's got his tongue. His tongue has radar. It knows exactly where to go. Now, those are all illusions. Those are all illusions. Ingeborg, what would happen if you ask a centipede how he walks? What would happen?
He's confused.
He would get confused. You see, the moment we ask ourselves how we do all of the wonderful things that we do, we get confused. If instead we say, I walk harmoniously and beautifully, we walk harmoniously and beautifully. If we say, I am master of my world, then we are master. But what we say is that we are not master. We say we are not God. We are not the Creator. We are not in charge of our world. And then our world doesn't act right to us, and we say, hey, that's not right. That is exactly right. Our world can be anything we want it to be. And if we go around saying, God, I am. I am God. God, I am. God, I am. I am God. If we go around saying that, at first, we'll be laughing at ourselves. We'll be saying, if I'm God, why can't I do this and that and the other thing? But stop thinking of that. Just think of putting the cause in motion. I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am. And when you put that cause in motion, what's going to happen in your life? You're going to start acting like God. You tell a little boy, now, you know, I'm amazed at you, Johnny. You're 3 years old. I'm just amazed at you. Why? Thinks he did something wrong. You act like such a little gentleman. You are always doing things properly. I am just amazed at you. I'm so proud of you that you know how to do all those things already. Ooh, I'll learn to do some more things, you know. I like having people be proud of me. And so then he becomes a better gentleman. He becomes a thoughtful child. He becomes many other wonderful things. You see, this positive attitude to a child encourages the child to do it. Can't you ever put your clothes away? Can't you ever behave? Can't you ever do what's right? Can't, you know, what does that do? You know, you just do more of the same, can't you? You don't put your clothes away. You don't do things right. Not that you can't. It's that that's what's expected of you. 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 So whatever is expected of you, that's what you attempt to do. And you can be expected to do the negative or the positive. So if the world can determine what's expected of you, why can't we determine what's expected of us ourselves? Why can't I say, I am a gentleman, I am happy, I am filled with joy and peace and harmony, I am rich, I am healthy? Why can't we say those things about ourselves? Well, when we say, I am God, God I am, then we're saying those things about ourselves. When we are speaking our word and claiming the truth about ourselves, that's when we're doing this. The sooner we start doing that, the better. Because we have gone around saying unfortunate things about ourselves all of our life, even today. Even today, when you have been here at the monastery for a week or two or more, you still say those silly things. You say, I can't figure this out. I don't know. Now, the other day, Sylvia was saying to Ellen, hey, don't I get my time to go down to the Swimex and down to the recreation? And because, you know, if I have to answer the phone during that time, what's going on? Why is that? And Sylvia forgets that she is now the abbot. And as the abbot, she doesn't have the perks and privileges that the monks do. The same with Ellen. She doesn't have the perks and privileges that the monks do. The monks go here, they do this, they do that, and they if it's their the end of their term, they vacate the premise. If they're supposed to go to the Swimex, they go to the Swimex, they leave the house. And if nobody answers the phone, nobody answers the phone. Big deal, as far as they're concerned, because they are doing what they're told to do. But the abbot and the chairman of the board are different people. They have taken those positions and they have taken those responsibilities, which means that they have to make sure that it's done right. So, what would they do? If the abbot were wise, the abbot would say, okay, I'm going to get my time in the pool, because I'd like to do that, so I'm going to take my time right after breakfast, you know. And then everybody's in the house, they're answering the phone, they're taking care of these things, I'm going to go and take my time in the pool, and I'm going to enjoy it. Nobody says they can't do it. But then they're around to answer the phone when the rest of you are away. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Ellen, if she feels responsible to answer the telephone, then she should set her schedule so she can answer the phone at the time when the phone needs to be answered, when somebody's not there to answer it. Now, when you're God, you just set up your own program. Now, as monks, you're God, but you have established a program that you're going to be following the monk's program. And so you do that. And then when you become the abbot, then you do that. You become chairman of the board, you do that. And you become the dean, and you have no time to go into the pool, no time to do these things. You just fit it in as best you can in the morning or whenever you can, if you can. And if you can't, you don't moan about it, because that's your choice. It's how you set up the program. You understand? It's how you set up the program. It's how you set up the program. It's how you set up the program. Every one of us sets up our own program. The monks set up the program according to the way it is in the outline for the monks. The abbot and the chairman of the board set up their program however they must. And their program is not what everybody else's program is. If it's what everybody else's program, what do we need to have an abbot and a chairman of the board for? Yeah, you know? So, these are things that we have to remember. And many times we look at the abbot or the chairman of the board and say, boy, do they have an easy time. They can decide these things, they can do that, they can do the other thing. Hey, that's true. But you will find out that being someone who is an employee is a lot easier than being the boss. You don't know what the boss does. You think the boss does nothing. The boss has so many things to do and so many things to think about that you don't have to worry about at all. You just do your own little job, your own little work, your own little thing of saying, I am God, God I am.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that, and you say that, and you say that, and you experience it. The boss can say that too, but they have to fit that in between doing other things. So, say I'm God, God I am. Say I'm God, God I am. Say I'm God, God I am. And watch the miracles happen in your life. You deserve it. You deserve everything that you put your mind to. And if you put your mind to the fact that things are not working out well, you deserve it. If you put your mind to the fact things are working out great, you deserve it. It's all your choice. That's all I got to say. I've said what I was going to say, and that's all I got to say. I love you.
That's pretty nice.